Oi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck headers.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye bye.
Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Are you okay? Right, this is a listener special that Jason did three times, and all three times, due to technical issues, one way or another, they messed up. And this is the third and final time we did it. The actual show is 1 hour, 13 minutes long. I'm not sure whether it was the internet problem, whether it is our new software, but a few times it went wrong. So it's going to go, end up being for 1 hour 13 to being possibly about 45 minutes, maybe a little bit less. So if there are any continuity issues, just ignore it. Hopefully we will be doing a live show. Hold on, Echo, what day is it?
Today is Wednesday, 11th of September.
Well, there you go. Oh, now the radio started. Echo, shut up. So it looks like we might be doing a live show tomorrow. Definitely me, definitely Jason. So we hope you enjoy this show, and I haven't ruined the beginning of it.
Oh, are we all? Yeah, international break. It's crap. I know. Wales are crap. But the Arsenal come back next week with a game at Vicarage Road against Watford, which has been a bit of a difficult place just recently. So we thought we'd do the much-awaited listener special. Obviously, we didn't get it done in the summer, and we had plans to do it a few weeks ago, but unfortunately, with Steve passing away, we put that off. Nobody's in the mood to podcast or what have you. And today we've had one of the boss drop out because he's had an emergency in work. So a shout out to Dro the Gooner. Wish you were here, pal. Hope everything's okay. But let's get on to the guests, who are you? First and foremost, it's the magnificent Alonso Spencer. Say hello, Alonso.
How are you, how you doing?
Oh, I'm getting older and dafter, pal. just getting old and dafter, you know, there's no way about it. Looking forward to this, mate?
Yes, I am.
Good man, good man. Enjoy the ride. Next, we have Andrew, the Hinkley Gooner. Say hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew. How are you doing?
Right. You can tell these boys listen, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, long time coming being on here. I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm, absolutely delighted that I've been invited to be on, mate.
Excellent stuff, excellent stuff. Right, guys, we've spoken before the pod, obviously, but what we're going to talk about. Let's have a chat about the first four fixtures of the season. Over 10% of the season gone. Okay, we've had some good results, some indifferent results, and some bad results so far. And come to you first, Alonso. Newcastle away, that, you know, that's a bit of a test, bearing in mind how poor our away form was last season. And we came out of that with a 1-0 win. What were your thoughts on it? Are you happy with it, or is that what you expect?
I was happy with it, but I also thought that we could have had more. But considering the lineup we had with Chambers at the back four, I thought that it was pretty interesting considering his partnership with Socrates. And I thought that the show was good. I thought that the lineup was good. I thought that the bench was good. I'm okay with it. I thought that Aubameyang had a great shot on goal. I wanted more against the Newcastle team that struggles in the Premier League sometimes. So, I mean, I was okay with it, but I wanted more, I guess.
Okay, cool. Andrew, as Alonso alluded to, you know, the bench was really strong. We played a lot of youngsters, I think, down to injury issues or, you know, Unai being careful. I know Newcastle had their moments, but we weren't really troubled in that game, were you? What did you think of the game and how the youngsters played in that match?
Well, I thought we were really comfortable in the game, really. We were never under threat. And we've got to bear in mind as well, when it's the first game of the season against Newcastle, who are supporter-wise, especially, we know how magnificent their supporters are. We've got to take into account that it's the first game of the season. They've got a brand new manager. They've got some new signings themselves. And they're going to be, you know, it's an unusual one for Newcastle because obviously there's always a new manager bounce, new manager lift. But in their case, it was a bit of a, oh, God, it was a bit of a, a drop to earth, wasn't it, really, getting rid of Rafa Benitez and replacing him with Steve Bruce. However, the players, though, are still going to want to impress the manager. So we've got to take that into account. And their new signings, you know, they look quite lively and they've got a lot of pace. And considering the team we did put out and the youngsters, which I personally really wanted to see, I was really looking forward to seeing them. I just thought it was really comfortable. Yeah, of course, it'd be nice to get a 2 or 3 goal win to really sort of put our marker down in the first game. But we never hardly ever win our first game, especially away, and keep a clean sheet. So I really couldn't complain. I was really pleased with it. And I'd love to see Willock and Nelson in the team. I thought they're really lively. I've really liked the look of Willock. So, yeah, I was happy all round, to be honest. I think it was a good result.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those. I was disappointed just scoring one. I've got to be honest. We need to look at our attacking prowess. But that clean sheet, that was so, so welcome after last season. It was, you know, it was almost a relief, wasn't it? You know, where you just think, you know, we haven't conceded. Fantastic. 3 points in the bag away from home, where we did really, really struggle last season, and some really good game time for the youngsters. So yeah it was a we can't complain, but and you know, I see both perspectives there. It's a really difficult one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Andrew, I'll stay with you for the next game, okay? And then I'm going to come back on to Alonso. So we had Burnley home then, and I've got to be honest with you, I only saw the first half hour of the game, okay? I've seen the highlights since. But I heard a lot of people saying, oh, this is going to be a difficult game, you know, Burnley are, you know, physical, etc. Yet, you know, we have royally humped them last few occasions at home. Their form against us, they hardly ever pick up a win against us. And I kind of thought it was being over-egged. But our display on the day, I thought was bloody awful, to be honest with you. I thought we were poor, we wasted chances. I thought at the back we looked really, really shaky at times. We won 2-1, though. It's 3 points in the bag. What's your takeaway from that game?
I was pretty much the same as you, to be perfectly honest. I think that, thank God for Ceballos in that game, because that took all the headlines. It took the headlines away from the overall performance for me, because of how great he was in that match. Otherwise, if you took him away from that, I mean, God, what would we have left from that game? But overall, it was a bit of an anticlimax, but I couldn't, again, I was just happy that we got 6 points out of six at that particular point, rather than trying to overanalyze it like I can tend to do from time to time and overreact.
Exactly.
And I get a lot of criticism for seemingly overreacting by on Twitter sometimes. However, I can't help it after the match is finished. You know, once all the players walk across that white line, I'm fully behind the team and everyone, and I'm, you know, rooting for them as I always have done all my life. But after the match, I can do what I like as a fan, as we can all do. But I don't want to go too much into how I'm sort of feeling overall, because we've got two more matches to go through yet. But it was the first time this season that I certain feelings resurfaced from last season regarding some thoughts I've got about the manager that I just can't shift. I've got to be honest, I just can't shift them. And it's continued. Sorry, go on.
It's difficult, doesn't it? You know, I mean, people, I've got my own views on the manager, okay?
Yeah.
When I came out with it last season that I'd sack him at the end of the year, you caught a lot of stick. You looked at the form and you looked at some of the dross we were playing, and it's the football that we were playing was the main thing, where, yes, it's a results-based business, but, you know, until you get good performance, that solid stream of results is never, ever going to come.
Yeah.
And I found that really annoying, you know. But no, I see what you're saying there, mate. And it is difficult.
It is. because I left that match really sort of starting to get that feeling back again that I had last season about some grave concerns with the way he sort of sets the team out. I'll get onto it more, obviously, as we discuss the other two matches as well. But yeah, it did start that game for me, those sort of feelings. Like I said, there was very little positivity to come out of it, apart from Ceballos, and then the cameo we had from Pepe, who I thought showed some wonderful skills and ability and pace. And I'm very excited about him moving forward. So, yeah, there wasn't a great deal to take away from the game. It was a bit of a damp squib, really, wasn't it?
It was frustrating. Alonso, so, you know, Andrew's mentioned Ceballos' debut there. I mean, he was phenomenal to watch on the day. I mean, you know, even though he caught the first half hour, you looked at him on the ball and he looked fabulous and he carried right the way through in the game. And again, you know, he got assists during the game, etc. And we took the 3 points. What were your views on the game? And talk to me about Ceballos as well.
I think, like you said, Jason, Burnley tenor players really good, really tough. I think that they have a lot of defensive players that are defensive-minded. So sometimes it's kind of hard for them us to break through their defensive system and setup. However, we should be able to score more than just two goals. Well, I shouldn't say that. I think we should be more creative and trying to break through them. And defensively, we still have issues. And to me, this is my opinion. If Colin Chambers plays that game instead of Socrates or Luis, you know, would you ask yourself, well, maybe the center back's the issue still, and or Xhaka doesn't really know how to control the midfield like he should, like his role should be able to. It's just frustrating sometimes because we should be able to have a hold on these teams that we somehow still can't figure out.
No, I agree with you. I mean, look, you know, if it wasn't Liverpool and Tottenham coming up, in my opinion, I think he should have started Chambers. But with those two games following this one up, I think he had no choice. He had to play Socrates. And again, you know, I'm no fan of his. So I'm not going to denigrate him on this because, you know, I've said what I'm just saying him, but we were still not solving those issues that we've had over the last couple of seasons. And I find that very concerning. And, you know, the goal that we let in was poor. But again, it's 3 points in the bag where 100% record to start the season off. You know, you can't moan too much, can you? Sticking with you now, Alonso, then we go up to Anfield. I know. And when the team sheet was announced, I thought, well, you know, I honestly thought, well, you know, we're going to lack width. We kind of know that. But he's picked his tactics. He's picked his setup and he's gone with him. With it, all credit to that. Unfortunately, it turned out to be a really tough day at the office. What were your thoughts on it?
So, to me, when I saw the lineup, I thought to myself, why is he experimenting now? You know, this should have been done against Burnley or Newcastle. To me, it could have been different, Jason, because if Aubameyang comes out and makes that goal, we're talking a different game, right? Then if Pepe doesn't mess up that first touch, we were talking about 2-0, right? 2-0 would be the score.
I'll be honest with you, okay? You know, I've heard that said a lot by a lot of people that if we'd have scored that goal, well, as a hypothetical, I get where they're coming from, but we didn't score the goal. Mm-hmm. More to the point, all the pressure we invited on ourselves, we didn't press the ball. We, you know, they had all the time in the world on their ball. the dam is going to break when you have too much pressure on it. If we'd have gone 2-0 up, I still think we lose that game. I genuinely do think that, okay? Because, when have we ever put a team out to get a nose in front and then defend for 80 minutes? We've never done that.
In a while.
I think, excuse my French boys, but I think a lot of bollocks has been spoken about this tactical attempt we made at Liverpool, because if you've got players who are not proven in executing that tactical plan, what makes you think you're going to go to the team who are the form team in Europe and, only lost one game last season, 40-odd games unbeaten at home, and we're all of a sudden going to go with the first-time plan and execute perfectly. But,
But the tactics in a game is why even, Lacazette and Terrell on the bench, this isn't a game that Xhaka should be playing in. And this is how we'll get into that during the Tottenham game. But it's like you're asking yourself to get blown out, and you're not having enough attacking options up front with Lacazette, because Lacazette can do a lot on the pitch besides the score. He could, hold the ball up and play. He could assist. And I don't know. It was just doomed from the start to me, at least. And it's unfortunate.
Look, I agree with you regarding Lacazette. I found it very, very kind of difficult to look at. The one thing I will say, a lot of people are having a pop at Xhaka after the game. But he had the most recoveries, most forward balls. I didn't think he made a mistake in that game. He didn't make a mistake for me in that Liverpool game. Ceballos, he was exactly like Santi Cazorla, missing in another big game. The guy was in hiding. He was hiding in the trench. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get into the ball. If Xhaka would have played the ball across the face of the goal, like Ceballos did, he'd have been pilloried for it. If Ceballos gets away with it scot-free. Okay, I thought Guendouzi was poor. I've got to be honest with you. But we were poor as a team. Ceballos is, he contributed nothing to that game. Yet people are still talking about Xhaka, who at least, he contributed to us, to be fair to him. Andrew, it was a game of recrimination for us afterwards, okay? There's all sorts of feelings from all sorts of people, and I get the different perspectives on it. I really do. What was your takeaway from it?
I'm really so, you don't understand how hard I'm working here to try and curb my rage now, because I don't want to peak too early, to be perfectly honest. Before the game, I was really, really disappointed, because I'm just sick to death of us having to just be worried about all the teams that we're playing. Because I just wish, I'll just take one step back again. This is factually Emery's last season in charge, unless he does something special to earn a new contract, right? So I just wish more than anything that he would throw a bit of caution to the wind and really go for it this season. I really do. And we'll no doubts at all. I'm not being under no illusions that we'll take a few losses if we did it that way every now and then. But I'd so much rather watch some fantastic attacking football and not worry too much about really trying to contain the teams that we're playing, and just utilize all our strengths throughout the team and really go at some teams this year. If we're going to go down swinging. I was so frustrated that we just didn't really try and put a load of pressure on Liverpool right from the word go, right from the kickoff. That's what I wanted. And I really, really disappointed that we didn't sort of play our best players on the day. So that's how I felt before we'd even kicked a ball, to be perfectly honest. Now, I think that a lot of this problem that we had with players' form on that day like Ceballos is a perfect example, because you don't just turn into a crap player overnight from one game to another. I think a lot of it is down to the way that the manager is setting the teams up for these games. And I just wish to God that he would say to, well, have a creative midfield with energy, enthusiasm, obviously skill in the younger players to get the ball forward and run at the Liverpool defence, get the ball to the front three as quickly as possible, which we didn't play that day, obviously, the front three. But get the ball to them and let them just stay to the front three, right? Because there's been a lot of concern in the on Twitter and, you know, across all the fan base about getting the front three to play and say, oh, he can't play on the right, he can't play on the left. Well, I want to see the front three in a completely sort of fluid sort of way of playing. That they just say, look, you don't have to stick to those positions that you put. You don't have to stick out right, wide out right, Pepe. You haven't got to stick on the left, Aubameyang. They're all professionals and they're fantastic players. That's why we pay so much money for them. So just let them play together and just express themselves and use their skill and ability. And behind them, we should have played some more creative players who can actually run with the ball and have a bit of pace about them as well. And I just really, really wanted us to just test ourselves and really go for it against Liverpool, because let's face it, throughout that match, and there were only short spells, but we really did worry the Liverpool defence. We had them rocking it just from time to time, but we didn't persevere with it, and it just lets them off the hook. And within a couple of minutes, they're all regrouped and they're all back to normal again. But if we just battered them as much as we possibly can, they're not, it's like it's not impossible to beat these teams if you just go for it. So, yeah, I was very frustrated, to be perfectly honest. I was really disappointed with the way he set the team up.
Yeah, I don't feel as if he gave us anybody the chance to shine, to be honest.
No, he didn't. And I think that affected the players' performances on the day. That's what I was alluding to earlier about Ceballos. I think because you had, when you actually get put out to do a specific job by the manager and it's just not working and it's not working to your strengths and you're trying to do something you're not comfortable with, it's going to affect you throughout the game. And as the game progresses and you see us being battered from the flanks, because we gave them the flanks with Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold to just run into and just had the field day, it's going to affect you, because you just think, oh, fucking hell, this is going to be a long day as a player, because they're human, aren't they? They're on the pitch and they're going to be seeing, oh, it's just not working. And the manager's not making anything to make it any easier for us. He's not doing nothing. So when he actually made that terrible ball, there was no outs for him. There was no runners to go. There was no one sort of supporting. He had to get rid of the ball. And to be fair, yes, I'm sure he panicked at that particular point, because there was no one helping him. There was no way out for him to go. He didn't have an exit plan. So he made a bad mistake, but I don't think it could be put completely on him because of the way we were set up.
I'll be honest with you, you play that ball across the box and Lefty Marnie screwed it up.
Very lucky.
He didn't have many options, and our movement off the ball is poor. I gotta give him credit. I don't think he pilloried for his performance. I think, Unai's got a lot to answer for in that game. He said in the after show match. But ultimately he's made the decision to pass that ball across the box, where, you saw the grief Luis had for the penalty, where it was the stupidest thing pulling back. But again, when he got done by Salah later, Alonso, I thought that was great skill from Salah. You can talk about should he have been there, should he have not, but Salah did him properly. And again, there was no help from Socrates coming across, who pulls out to the challenge.
Yeah.
And for the second week in a row, pulls out to the challenge. Okay. And yet, is it a case, do you think, Alonso, of the manager has to take that one on the chin? Because you hear him later on try to defend the penalty and try to defend, other his team selection, etc., when We went up with a whimper, not a fight. What were your thoughts?
It's kind of interesting because we all know that soccer artist has a hard time defending faster players, especially inside the box. And he should have covered for Luis. And but however, you know, Salah is one of right now he's one of the best players on the planet. So you can't really you can only do so much to prevent him from getting a goal. And Liverpool just have Firmino and they have Mane. So the front for Liverpool is just that good, where you know you have to. Just difficulties, whomever is inside the box. Now, whether or not they're going to go down, who knows? But, you know, it's just frustrating sometimes because we know we need better center backs, but yet nothing happens. And I don't know. It's just frustrating to talk about sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Right, okay, Andrew, on to you for this one now. So we park Liverpool where it was, you know, we were all frustrated. I didn't understand people taking positives out of that game. I really didn't. I don't think, you know, we need to, you know, there shouldn't be a witch hunt on any of the players for that day. You know, I thought Ceballos was poor. I thought he was awful. But like you said, I don't think you and I put him in a position to shine, you know? And we know the boy's got talent. You can see it. It oozes out of him. Then we go to the North London Derby. And I get what Unai was doing with the setup. I feel he was going with the midfield three to run them ragged initially and then bring on your sort of skill players to take advantage of their tiredness, etc. It didn't kind of work out that way, did it?
No, absolutely. Can I just have probably one more minute on the Liverpool game before I quickly go on to the Tottenham game? Luiz is the last of our worries at the moment with the defence. And he was getting pilloried in that game. Now, like Alonso alluded to, there's far better players probably than Luiz will get done by Salah throughout every game. He's got very good skill and ability and pace, and he did him. He did him on the wing. That's absolutely fine. And for the penalty, right up at every match in every ground up and down the country and across the world, players have pulled top jerseys every single game, and they never get penalised for it. And Liverpool's headed goal from the corner to start off with was a free kick to us as well. But no, they didn't get that given to them. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. I'm not defending Luiz to say he should have pulled his shirt. He shouldn't. But players get away with that all the time.
Van Dijk got away with it in that game on Pepe.
Exactly. Who I was really disappointed with, which has never changed for me anyway, is Socrates. He's the weak link for me in the defence. It just frustrates me so much because 85% of the time, he's a really good, solid defender. But that's not good enough 85% of the time at the top level. He literally, with that goal that Salah did, Luiz, on the wing, ran into the box. You see Socrates just jogging, like he's jogging around the park. And if he did bust the gut to get in front of Salah and threw himself in front of that ball, he would have either put Salah off or he could have obviously, you know, blocked the shot. But he didn't. He frustrated me so much in that game, and it continued into the next game, into the North London Derby, which I'll move on to. Now, we all wanted to see the front three and to really go for it in the London Derby. And Emery gave with one hand by giving us the front three, and he took away with the other hand immediately by choosing the midfield that he did, in my opinion. Everyone could see how much massive gap between the front three and our midfield. Now, if you're going to play the front three, play the players to support the front three and play to our strengths. Now, everyone knows our defence isn't our strong point. So I've said you know, this week on my podcast, in our case, attack is the best form of defence, and we really need to keep the, it sounds like the basic common sense. In our situation with our team, play to our strengths, keep the ball as far away from our goal as possible and our defence as possible. So I'm disappointed that Chambers has done nothing wrong for me throughout pre-season since he came back to the club. And in the first game of the season against Newcastle, he's solid. And he's more of a classic defender, where, which I like, not these ball-playing defenders who try and do step-overs and nutmegs. Whenever that happens, I think my heart goes into my mouth. I don't want defenders doing that. I want them to keep the ball out of the net and protect the goalkeeper. And Chambers is more of an old-fashioned style defender in that case, where he's more likely to put the ball in row Z when there's a sign of real danger, rather than trying to do something silly with it and lose the ball. And I just really wish that we had Chambers alongside Louise until Rob Holding comes back and we can assess how well he's playing. I'd feel a lot more comfortable, because I think in lots of situations that he would have thrown himself in front of balls, and he would get rid of the ball where Socrates wouldn't. His positional play is ridiculous sometimes. I mean, what the hell was he doing going up for that header when, all right, it was being dealt with, but it was being dealt with by Xhaka. That's not great, but it was still being dealt with. So what the hell was he doing up there? And then he couldn't get back with Eriksen as well. So for me, he's the problem in defence, and always has been. I've never rated him as high as a player should be rated to who plays for Arsenal, unfortunately.
So anyway, it's a difficult one. Just to come in on that point, mate, okay? I mean, we've had somebody on the pod who used to work at St. James's Park, and their words to us were, Callum Chambers very highly rated technically, okay? Technically, his ability is top-notch, apparently. And with Socrates, I think we have to bear in mind, and I'm not Socrates' biggest fan, as everybody knows, but I thought last season he was magnificent in the home and away game against Tottenham. I thought he was really good. He kept Kane quiet. Again, I think that's why maybe the selection was there for him. But again, there's no excuse for that header, etc. Carry on.
No, there isn't. He's Chambers is not going to be, if we had him until, like I said, until Holding comes back and he can be assessed how he's playing. Chambers is obviously going to still make mistakes, because every player in world football makes mistakes. But his mistakes will come more out of good, honest endeavour rather than utter stupidity, which is avoidable, because we keep picking the players that keep making these mistakes, and they do come from brain farts. This is a common term for it nowadays, but they keep getting picked, unfortunately. And everyone knows, I don't go through it in too much detail, but what the hell was that about with Xhaka? And it's just ridiculous. There's absolutely no one that can understand. Even pundits, professional pundits who played the game, no one can understand why he would do that in that situation.
He's a captain.
He's running away from the goal, and people are defending him, saying, oh, well, he's a great leader. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not leadership to do stupid things like that. And no one can tell me that in the dressing room, the players aren't going to talk about Xhaka behind his back, saying he's cost us again today. But he's supposed to be our captain, supposed to be our leader, but he's cost us another 2 points. And they're all going to start getting annoyed, if they're not already, by what he's doing, because he's cost them all Champions League qualification last season. That's not...
There are plenty of instances which cost us qualification last season. I've got to be honest with you. You know, I've heard this wheeled out, and I wheeled it out on Aubameyang, the penalty missing lot in the derby last season. And it's just to highlight, you know, the margins. But a lot of people made mistakes last season, which cost us Champions League qualification. I think pinning it all on any one player is wrong, because, you know, we were outplayed by Wolves away. We were outplayed by Leicester City away. We screwed it up royally against Crystal Palace. and the embarrassment of both home and away games against Brighton is a stain on the whole season. I mean, you know, you look at those, the number of points we've lost there. Christ, we could have been second. Do you know what I mean?
That's exactly my point. You've sort of covered a few bits there, because as with the beginning of the season, we were all talking about expectations for last season, but certain events that happen throughout the season alter those expectations. Okay, so with regards to you saying there's been plenty of other mistakes throughout the season that's cost us Champions League as well, that's fair enough. But they were gone, and we were still in contention. And the best chance we possibly had at that point then was the match against Brighton at home. That was right at the end of the season. And all we had to do was keep ourselves really concentrated, really up for that game, and just to win a home game against Brighton. Then nothing else mattered at the end of that season in the Premier League, right? How was it the second to last game that Brighton won? Yeah,
I can't remember the top of
it. It was, and that was our best opportunity, because we weren't comfortable going to Burnley away in the last game. So we knew that all we had to do was beat Brighton, and that would have secured us a top four. So I'm not having anything else about penalty misses or anything, because that was our cup final that day.
Well, we had a cup final afterwards as well, and we screwed that up. To be fair, you know, I'm not Emery's biggest fan, but my God, I could not do better than him. I couldn't. I know I couldn't. Okay? You know, it's one of those parts of the game where, you know, we've just got to be honest with what you see, how you see things, and then that's fine. Andrew, coming back to yourself, mate. The grit we showed to come back into it. Were you disappointed that Ceballos wasn't brought on sooner?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I really wanted him to start the game. I really think we missed Willock on the day as well. That's a big disappointment. Torreira has... I'd love to know whether he's been really instructed, because he was a massive disappointment on the day, and I'd love to know if he'd been instructed to do what he was doing, because he was bought to be our Kante. Initially, that's how we found the guy, and he would thrive in the Kante role. He was playing right out of position. He was the furthest forward in quite a few parts of the game. In fact, I think when Lacazette scored, he was in the box with Lacazette, and I saw him on the right wing. And so I think a lot of it was to do with the way that we were playing and the personnel in midfield. I was disappointed that Ceballos didn't start. Alonso said about Ozil, I'd love to have a fully fit and firing Ozil available for a game like that. He would have been ideal to link the midfield to the front three, but he's just not at the moment. I don't know. Again, that's something else I'd love to know what's going on there, because he's not even been included. He's not been in the squad for a lot of the time. But anyway, I'll leave the Ozil situation. But I just wish as well that we had some different decision-making by the manager, because I can't get my head round why he brought on Mkhitaryan instead of other options. I just so wish that, don't you wish that we had, that we had Martinelli on the bench for that game. Because his pace and talent and skill, I think he would have literally ripped Sanchez a new one in the last half in that game.
Sanchez was there to be taken advantage of. He really was.
That pace but raw ability that Martinelli has, if you can imagine just for 1 second that him on the left and Pepe on the right in the last half hour of that game, they would have been so scared of those players, and Aubameyang tucked in the middle. We would have won the game. I genuinely think we would have gone on and won the game if we'd have had that. Mkhitaryan took up some fantastic positions on that pitch when he came on, and he just couldn't control the ball. I've seen 11-year-old kids down when I take my sons to play football. They can control the ball better than him on that game. It's weird. I just don't know what's happened. But
he went off the Sanchez miss kick was spinning so much. I think he just found that too difficult to bring down. It was, I think, the spin on the ball was so vicious.
Yeah,
but, I know exactly what you mean.
But it's a £200,000 play. You'd think he'd be able to control it.
Yeah, you would hope so, wouldn't you? But he didn't on the day, unfortunately.
No.
Right, boys. The result was disappointing. You know, everybody was saying that we were going to smash them, etc. It didn't kind of work out like that, did it, unfortunately? But we didn't lose. So that was thankful, to be honest, because if we'd lost that game, I think the vitriol would have been... It would have been painful. Our upcoming fixtures, boys. I'm going to come to you first, Andrew, then I'm going to come to you, Alonso. We have Watford away, which has been a sticky wicket for us recently. We have Villa at home. And these are the Premier League fixtures. I'm not including the Cup games or the Europa League, okay? So we have, Watford away, Villa home, United away, and then Bournemouth home. Andrew, what are you expecting results-wise and what are you expecting from Unai in these next four matches?
I'm actually expecting good things out of these games. I could see, realistically, four wins. No one's pulling up any trees. However, it's always the way, isn't it? We're just playing new a team and something happens with their manager. A bit of a shock with Javi Garcia losing his job yesterday, but they're not playing well at all at the moment, are they? It's not as if they're being unlucky either in games. They're deserving to lose. So we should beat Watford away. And if we do, that's going a long way to mending our away day blues, isn't it? And so fingers crossed that one, but I'm quite comfortable that we should get a win there. Villa are playing well in spells. They've been unlucky in a couple of games. But I do expect us to beat them at home quite comfortably. Man United away, they're one of those teams, aren't they, that are capable of just producing a great result on the day, or they could go and lose 5-0 to anyone. I just don't like them as a team. They just don't look like they are. But they actually just don't look like a team that's played together before. I just really hope we get them on a usual day where they're just playing like... I don't know, just playing like school kids. It's awful. They're not Man United at the moment, are they? Let's face it. So we should be able to beat Man United as well. A lot of this is down to how Unai Emery sets us up. And I've got my own theory on the front three. We need to have Lacazette and Aubameyang in the box. And we can't leave out Pepe. I see there's been a lot of talk about Lacazette taking up the Firmino role. I don't see that as working because I don't think his distribution is good enough. I love Lacazette to bits. He is an amazing finisher. He showed us what he's all about in the 44th minute or whatever it was of the London Derby. And that's where we need him, in the box. There's no better finisher than Lacazette around. Very few of them anyway. He's lethal in the box. We need to have him in the box. We need to have Aubameyang in the box where... You know, he scored 30 goals last season. He can do the same again this season, but he's not if he's just kept out on the wing. So I believe that Pepe would be the best person to sort of drop a little bit deeper and play in the hole behind the front two, because he's got all the ability to do that and it plays to his strengths. Yes, a lot of people will come back and say, well, he plays on the right. Well, yeah, he does play on the right, but I see him being just as good as playing if he's moved into the centre. It will really utilise his pace, running at the defenders and scaring the life out of them. And the ability that he's got to turn players and when he's in that space and change direction is phenomenal. And I think he could really thrive playing in that sort of slightly deeper role, to be perfectly honest, with his pace and power. And he's got a good long shot on him. One of those is going to fly into the top of the net anytime soon. And him feeding the front two, coupled with the fact that we should have Bellerin and Tierney back, well, maybe at the end of the month, they will provide the width as well. We're a completely different lethal team when they come back into the side, supplying from the side from width. So I feel really excited about it, to be honest. We will really have a good Liverpool-type team based on that model when they come back on come back fit.
It's going to be interesting to see how he does develop the team, to be honest, dude, because I think, you know, you've got Ceballos, you've got Ozil, you've got all these players who are sort of vying for positions. That's going to be really interesting to see how he develops this and how, you know, what decisions he does make on sort of player personnel. I've got to be honest, I think, you know, I'd like to see him go with a 4-2-3-1, but it does mean that people aren't going to get played. But you've got to have, if you're going to play 4-2-3-1, we saw how effective it could be last season with a two-man midfield. But you have to have athleticism in that midfield, you do. You have to have athleticism in there. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. Alonso, like same question I've asked Andrew there. You know, Watford away, Villa home, United away, and Bournemouth home. What are your thoughts? What are your hopes results-wise, and what are your hopes for team tactics, etc.?
I think that at the most we'll get 9 points, maybe 8, because we always seem to mess up against the lower league teams like Aston Villa or Bournemouth or Watford. Somehow, some way, we always mess up. I mean, it's happened in the past before. And it's just weird how it happens, you know what I mean? So I think that Manchester United will be a tough game. Is it here or is it there?
United's away at Old Trafford. So,
yeah, it's always a tough place to play. No matter how bad they've been playing, they're always a good test. I think that with Watford, they always have trouble. Just that scumbag Chardini, so we'll see what happens. And with Villa, they're newly promoted, so they have a chip on their shoulder. So, you know, in moments as well, they always cause problems in the past. So, you know, I give it 8 points, maybe 9, maybe 10. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do hope that Unai goes more attacking in these games.
Do you think he'll play Ozil in those games?
I'm not sure. I think the Ozil situation is really difficult because of obviously the mental health side of what he's gone through recently. Right. So I'm not sure. But do you hope Unai picks a more, really goes for these teams and picks a more attacking setup?
I hope so. I think that with the way Guendouzi played against Tottenham, I think that he's now ready to make his mark on the team on a consistent basis. Rather, what formation Emery uses would be interesting. But however, I think you should always attack the weaker teams. I think you should give it a go. You have nothing to lose, honestly. I think you still have a question mark to the back four, whether Tierney plays or Bellerin plays, are they ready? So what's going to happen? I mean, I'm optimistic, of course, but there's always those teams that give us trouble. That gives me the most worry.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. You know, the Watford game last season was almost pivotal to how the season running went. You know, I mean, obviously with the Ramsey injury, etc. You know, you can pinpoint that game as where we lost the title, to be honest. Or we lost top four, sorry. Mm-hmm. Andrew, you've got a point to make on that. Come back, please.
Yeah, I think that just to pick up on something Alonso said about we tend to struggle against teams like Aston Villa, etc. That's the positive we can take out of the North London derby, the way we came back. I think we would have lost that game last season. I am positive that we've got most of the old regime out of the club now, player-wise, that will hang over from the comfortable last few years that they've had, and knowing that they were going to get picked regardless of form. And I really want us to move away from that whole ethic and have players all fighting for their place throughout the squad, so that they need to perform on a regular basis, otherwise they're left out. And we seem to have got a whole new team together that have and pretty much got rid of all of that old negativity. So I do find it positive now.
I'm interested to ask you about that, because you saw last season, okay, obviously, Unai Emery dropped Aaron Ramsey beginning the season. He only really started playing him after a disastrous January. When Ramsey got injured against Watford, the excuse came out he demanded to play. But Unai had no problem in dropping him earlier on in the season. Okay, now I don't see that as sort of negativity in the playing group, because most of these players will go away with their countries and have a different attitude. I see that as an endemic attitude problem within the club. I thought it was the manager who was stumbling for excuses last season, not really the players, because you saw Xhaka and Ramsey perform well together. We looked really exciting. It looked really positive. Then that injury, it cost us big time. So I find this, the negativity towards certain players going, whether it be Mesut Ozil or whether it be Mkhitaryan or other players, these players contributed towards 3 FA Cups. I find it really strange, and I see the perspective from people, but again, it's like, do you think Unai's the right man to change the culture in the club?
Who are you going to, sorry?
You on this, then I'm going to come back to you.
I've got no confidence in that, no. I really haven't. I really wish I could say it. I'm going to be backing the manager until the day comes, if it does, that he leaves the club. I really, really, really want him to succeed, but I just cannot get over the fact that I have no faith that that's going to happen, to be perfectly honest. I mean, what on earth is going on with Mesut Ozil? I don't know. We could go on about it all day.
I think
you're going to. It's just ridiculous.
Out of the connection.
I don't want to talk about it either. So, yeah. I can't get past the fact that I've got grave concerns, because quickly, I know you probably want to move on, but it's he's the head coach, right? And he spent all last season working with the players. So you would only think, if he's a good coach, that throughout the season, the players would gradually improve week on week. It didn't. We've got worse throughout the whole last season. Much, much worse. And his decision-making, he's continued on with the same vein this year. It's given me nothing to feel really positive about moving forward, unfortunately. So I just hope that the players do it in spite of him. And I shouldn't be feeling like that in lots of ways. I just hope that the players can pull it out of the bag themselves. And I'll very quickly talk about Aubameyang and give him some credit this season. Pre-season was electric, and he's continued on in that form. And thank God that we didn't sell him. Like some people wanted us to sell him and get Zaha. Thank God we didn't, because he doesn't quite look the same player himself without Lacazette. So going back to what you mentioned earlier, Jason, about you maybe playing a 4-1-3-2 formation. No,
4-2-3-1, yeah.
4-2-3-1, I beg your pardon. I do think him and Lacazette do play better and seem happier when they are together on the pitch. I'll just make that quick point. But he's had a great season, and Matteo Guendouzi. So we've got strength and depth, which I'm really pleased about. I'm actually really pleased about the squad, and I just really hope that he puts Martinelli on the bench more often. I really want to see him as a young player, 17-year-old, 18-year-old player. I can't remember the last time I was excited about a player as much as him.
He does look talented, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks amazing, honestly.
Alonso, your thoughts on that? Do you think Unai's the right man to take us forward? I mean, I got to be honest with you, I had my doubts last season. I'm kind of shutting up at this point this season, because I'm not sure where I stand on it. I do know where I stand on it, but I'm not ready yet to gob off on it yet, because when I do, I'm going to go. Do you think he's the right man to bring this to really move this team forward this season?
Well, honestly, the first season had its bumps in the road, so to speak. I think that there are some times that we did really good. There's some times that we're really bad. And I think that listening to the pod over Emery's time, I think that the old adage is saying that, well, we need to give this guy a couple of transfer windows to succeed with his players that he wants. Now, whether or not he wants to be at Arsenal, we don't know.
To be fair, results are going to matter to him massively. If he gets top four this season,
mm-hmm.
I think he's got a shout to keeping his job, but he's got to get performance right this season, because until you're performing at a certain level, results do not come. And that's one of the truths in sport, that is. Right, that's it for today, guys. That's the listener special. My thanks to you, Andrew, and you, Alonso. Alonso, tell people where they can follow you on Twitter, please.
They can find me at Mr. Robot Take Two.
Magic. I love that handle. I do like that handle. Andrew, you do your own podcast as well, so please tell people where they can follow you on Twitter and they can catch your podcast, mate.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. On Twitter, I am at From Dial Square. And my podcast is called From Dial Square to Where. It's available on all the main podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, et cetera, and my YouTube channel as well, which I don't know the URL, but just search for From Dial Square to Where on YouTube. And I've got a live show coming up on Wednesday, so hopefully you tune in.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah, guys, we've been trying to do this for a couple of months now, so thankfully we've finally done it. We've had a few technical issues today, so if something doesn't sound right, it's had to be edited, guys. My apologies, but that's the way it goes sometimes. Bearing in mind, this podcast has lost more than one or two episodes over the years, okay? It does happen. Really enjoyed that, boys. Really enjoyed that. Thank you ever so much for your time. A shout out to Bro. Gutted he couldn't be on. It would have been great having the four of us, but the three of us, it was a lot of fun. That's it. So thank you. Take care. All the best. Keep it Arsenal, people. All the best. Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.